Okay, good morning. This is the Thursday, April 2nd. It's, Chris says it's 8:04. Clock is wrong up there. Community Regional Affairs, present this morning so far, Representative Gardner, Representative Keller, Co-Chair Munoz, and myself, Bob Heron, and others are expected to arrive. Representative Sisna, for the record, she is excused. If you have a cell phone, please turn it off. First thing this morning, we'll have an overview from the Alaska Statehood Celebration Commission and then the Capital City Celebration Committee, followed by two railroad bills, House Bill 171 and House Bill 173. With that, could I ask the Alaska Statehood Celebration Commission to come forward and begin their presentation. Please state your name and affiliation for the record, sir.
Good morning. My name is Christopher Constant, Vice Chair, Alaska Statehood Celebration Commission, one of the original members. And I am coming this morning to let you all know that we have had some excellent celebrations across the state of Alaska. And I think what my mom always taught me was you need to say thank you. And so although it was the 23rd legislature that initially founded us and the 24th that funded us, thanks is in order to the legislature. I would hope that through this body you carry it on to the rest of your members, that we are grateful for the resources and the impetus to pull together statewide celebrations. And there's a PowerPoint presentation that you should find in the materials in front of you that you can follow along with, a brief presentation. And a slight correction, we also have folks from Fairbanks, which is Festival Fairbanks, and Anchorage, which is, I forget their exact name, Anchorage, their statehood celebrations. And we'll be brief. We'll do our best to keep it under 15 minutes. So, but it's better not hearing from me, but hearing from the people who actually performed the amazing events that have been going on. So the commission was established in 2005 officially. It was created through the legislature in 2004. It was organized with five public members and four legislative members. The five public members, it was organized that you had one public member from each judicial district as well. You had a governor's appointee. And then again, you had two members of the majority in the House and a member of the majority and the minority in the House, and a member of the majority and the minority in the Senate. And that structure has served fairly well to begin the process. And in the beginning of our celebrations, we had very grand plans and I think somewhat unrealistic plans, but we shifted gears somewhere in the middle that we decided our best efforts were going to be to inspire communities to organize rather than to try to have a top-down celebration.
Chris, just to interrupt for a second. Representative Kawasaki, Representative Sisna is excused today. If you want to join us at the table, you're welcome to.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
That's right. We get your flag, your pocket flag on camera here. So.
All right.
Go ahead, sir.
So our charge was to plan and execute and administer statewide activities, and our main function was to set policy and to determine our rules of organization and then to meet and try to get communities actively involved. We had great success in organizing larger communities to be participating in the celebrations. I think we had great challenges in the smaller communities across the state. So some communities, in fact, are still organizing and planning and executing events through the rest of this calendar year at least. Our vision is to honor our history and to celebrate our future. Our mission is to inspire the people of Alaska and across the world to rejoice in Alaska's past, present, and future. And we decided we're going to do this by our values are to honor and celebrate Alaska's native heritage and cultures, and those instrumental in statehood and Alaska's constitution, and Alaska's achievements and opportunities, and especially to connect the youth of our state with the past so that going forward, the 100th anniversary of statehood, we have people alive in this state who remember the fact that when they were children, they got to meet the people that created Alaska's constitution, and that they were able to meet the people that were the founders of the state of Alaska. And I think that we have achieved that in many ways.
Further, Chris, For the record, could you name off the people that were involved in writing the Constitution that are still alive? Do you have those names?
Oh, I don't have it handy. Well, we have the chief clerk, which was Katie Hurley, of course, and then Vic Fisher, who's very active still in Anchorage in the community.
Jack Coghill.
Is probably about it?
No, there's two more.
There's somebody else.
Sundberg.
Yeah, Sundberg just passed away. There are two more. I'm sorry, I don't have that information with me.
Okay, that's right. Just for the record.
Yep. I will make sure that's provided to you. Further, we recently even have been working to solicit project ideas from across the state. Again, our mission to reach statewide, we've done in several ways, but we've had limited success in others. And so the commission currently has, for those of you who live outside of the major urban areas, some small resources available to help communities that are organized to make their activities successful. Some of the projects that we've achieved or that we have worked on, the one probably most notable is the logo. I think everywhere you go across the state, you run into this image.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. People see it everywhere. It's recognized. I was in the State Museum yesterday, and in fact, there's a big piece of art on the wall that has our logo in it. And so, and Mr. Cotto at the museum said that I noticed it. He thought that was great. And he said, children always see it and comment. And so when children are seeing the logo and commenting that it's there, you know we've achieved our goal. Further, you've seen...
Who designed the logo?
Through the chair, that would be Dean Potter, who was formerly a Sitka artist. He's actually a fairly new Alaska resident. He lives in Anchorage now. And for those of you in politics, you might be interested, he does design now for the Anchorage Press. So, you know, that's kind of one of those pieces of publications out there that has an impact on the political process sometimes. And so he is a very interesting character. He also designed the license plate that you see on the cars all over the state right now that the legislature approved a year ago as well. That will be our state license plate through the end of this year. I don't know what the new design will be.
Just for the record, Representative John Harris has joined us this morning. Good morning, John.
So another wonderful item that we have for the statehood celebrations, I would show briefly. Darrell from the Anchorage celebrations is here to actually talk about these materials and somewhat, but and even Juno, their celebrations, they actually coordinated this project. The first legislature, and I believe it was Joint Resolution 1, created this medallion. And it's a beautiful medallion made by the Medallic Art Company. It's bronze. It has our state on the front of it, juxtaposed across the nation, the 49th state, and the official state seal on the back.
We'll pass it around the committee. How's that sound?
Yep. Yep, please do.
We'll keep track.
They need one. Barbie needs one. Kathy needs one. Bert
well, the good news on that subject is tonight at 5:30, there's a reception in the Farron Camp room of this building. You and your staff are welcome. I'd like you to share that with everyone else in the building. And if you come, we have an award for you. And it is one of these medallions.
Is that a bribe or what?
It isn't, actually, because you paid for it.
Oh.
Yes, sir, through the chair.
Okay.
So that medallion was created. And in fact, it is an exact duplicate of the original, except that it has 2009 on it. So if you cast around and look around in the archives or on eBay, you can find the original, and you'll see that it's a duplicate, and it's a wonderful thing to have for the future. And these were used as a creative way for the commission to help communities fund their activities. We provided funding to Juno for this project, and they then were tasked to distribute them across the state to key communities and to places that were already organized. We didn't feel we had the resources to inspire every community to organize, but those that were organizing, we wanted to help organize. And so we utilized these, sending them to those communities, and they were able to sell them for their fundraising activities. And I believe that has been successful in many communities across the state. Further, the Alaska Quarter came out in process of the 50 States Quarter project. Also, if you haven't seen it, I know that there's one in the Wi-Fi room in this building that we have a stamp that's been issued by the U.S. Postal Service that was released early this year on the 3rd, I believe, January the 3rd, our official 50th anniversary. The U.S. Postal Service kind of bent their rules a little bit, and they put a living human being on the postage stamp, which is actually against the law. So Alaska's got an interesting postage stamp, to say the least.
Hmm.
Also, Alaska Airlines is due to put in service, I believe this week, 737. They hosted, in partnership with the Department of Education, the Governor's Office, a Paint the Plane project. So they have a 737 that needed to be painted and back in service, and so they did a competition across every grade level in the state. And they were able to get the competition out, and they had participants from all over the state. They selected 12 finalists. One student, a young girl from Sitka as well, an 11th grader, was selected, and her project, which is in your PowerPoint on the statehood projects, you can see her design.
Oh, yeah.
It is actually going to come into service this week, and
That's great.
Brilliant, brilliant paint job. When you get to see this, you will be very pleased. It should be in service for the next 7 years. So our message of statehood, which in the message of the plane is we're all pulling together. It's just a lovely design. And so the plane is going to have its first Alaskan landing in Sitka, and then it'll make its way up to Anchorage. I don't know if they have any plans to host the plane here in Juneau, but it would be in the next week if they do, and we will. Yeah, so if that's possible, we will let you know. Many other projects, I'm going to allow the people that did the local community projects to speak clearly about what they did, because they will really blow your mind with what little resources and a lot of partnership was able to be achieved across the state. And so just in conclusion, know that the people who are on the commission, we've worked really diligently, and we've had some failures and some great successes, and for the future, we hope that this body does decide to organize for the 100th anniversary to make it an even better celebration. And I think now is the time to start planning for that before we conclude, because a little bit of planning now can be an incredible amount of planning later. So one last event to let you know about coming up on Friday, which is tomorrow. Perseverance Theater is actually kicking off their 8 Stars of Gold, which is an interpretation of interviews of the founding members of the state of Alaska. And it is, I have been told, a tremendous performance, and tomorrow night is the kickoff. And so, and that will be at the Elks Hall right here in town. So if you're around, we would love your attendance. So we have three other speakers, excuse me. Kathy Hildry is going to speak on behalf of Juneau City Celebrations. And Michelle Roberts from Festival Fairbanks, and then Darrell Schaff will be here, and then we'll be concluded. So again, as I started, I just want to say thank you, and please pass the thanks around that we were able to have these great activities, and now you'll get to learn about what we did.
Thank you,
Chris.
Good to see you, Chris.
Good to see you. Through the chair.
Madam Co-Chair, Mr. Co-Chair, I would like from Nome to make a presentation on what we did. Also,
you're welcome to do that.
I think Leo ought to speak first, Mr. Chairman, because he's the old man of the group.
Well, we'll save him for last. We'll save Leo for last. We'll let the ladies start
save
first.
Best for last, huh?
Good morning. Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
I'm Kathy Hildry, and I'm chairman of the Capital City Celebrations. It's been an interesting couple of years, people ask me. I thought we celebrated only for a day or two, and I said, no, how about 8 or 9 months? So this has been ongoing, so I thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and to you, Kathy, as our representative from Juneau. Capital City Celebrations was formed in November of 2007 to help plan and host events and projects to commemorate the 50th anniversary of statehood here in the Capital City. There are 8 members on my board, and we meet monthly as well as hold monthly volunteer meetings to attract people from the community to help with our events. All the organizational work and work on events and projects here in Juneau has been done on a strictly volunteer basis, and we are very proud of the response we've received from people in our community to support the activities commemorating Alaska's 50th anniversary. Our first event was a partnership with the Juneau Symphony, which presented a piece entitled The Alaska Symphony that was written in the 1940s and had never been performed in our state. This event was held in June of last year to celebrate the passage of the Statehood Act by Congress in 1958. Since then, we've hosted quite a few events, including a dessert competition, which I might add, there's going to probably be a cookbook at some time forthcoming. A wine tasting event, First Lady's Alaska Tea at the Governor's Mansion, which is the first one and only that's ever been put on there. Cruise Ship Luncheon, which we partnered with Princess on that. And with several other groups around Juneau, such as the 4th of July Parade Committee in 2008, and again this year in 2009, Eel Crescieri, Perseverance Theater, and a local women's golfing group that insisted that they participate, and they had a great time, and we gave them several different little prizes for their women that play golf. And we do play golf around here when it doesn't snow, I believe. We held a 50th anniversary ball at Centennial Hall on January 3rd that was attended by over 500 people. And the following day, we sponsored, along with BP, a wonderful fireworks show in the valley, and it was absolutely fantastic. Everybody had a great time. The 4th of July, we will partner with several groups for our final weekend of fun celebrating the 50th anniversary. We will help the Juneau Douglas City Museum with their reenactment of the 1959 flag raising ceremony, host a dance featuring the 50s rock and roll band, The Diamonds, which I might add were here in January. And everybody had a great time. Kathy and her family came, and I know several people in the room came, and we just had a wonderful time. And these guys are wanting to come back a lot, and they have agreed to come back, be also in the parade the following day. So it's going to be a wonderful weekend.
Was it true that Kathy was dancing on the table?
Yeah, she was. Well, I can tell you that we probably should have had it a couple of weeks later, because I think you all would have been dancing on the tables. The minute that group came out, everybody just went to the floor, and they would not get off of it. You know, when there was a break, they didn't want to have the people have a break. They wanted to just keep dancing. So I guess, you know, it was a great evening for everybody. And so if you get the word out, we're going to have them come back again. It won't be as big a venue, but it will be a fun venue. And we're going to work on a lot of 4th of July activities and events, and we're going to bring back the original queen, and her court will be in the parade that was in the parade 50 years ago.
Wow.
And some of the floats will be reenacted also. We've worked, and there was also going to be a community picnic, too, at the same time downtown. And we're hoping for a Navy ship, and there's just lots of activities going on in the 4th, because it is the end of that, of our celebration. We've worked very hard to fund our events, and now look forward to working on a legacy project that will provide a reminder to the community that the state of Alaska has achieved 50 years of statehood, and that the capital city of Juneau has been an integral part of their achievement. I want to thank you, legislators, and the rest of the Senate and the House for all their support for our events here in Juneau. We have done most of our fundraising on our own. We did not come to the state for any funding, but we know that the support has been there. We've had a wonderful time doing this. It's been a lot of hard work, but it's been well worth it. And I think that we've shown the community and the capital city, they're all very excited about the 4th. Of course, anybody would be excited if you look out the window right now and the snow on the ground. So, but I want to thank you again for allowing us to come here and speak to you. And do you have any questions? I'd be happy to answer them. No? Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kathy, for doing such a great job leading the effort throughout this past year. You've done a marvelous job.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I have a wonderful board, and a couple of them are here today. Kathy Romich with the Juneau Chamber of Commerce is here, and Casa Corpola, who kind of is a driving force of our board, and she is the medallion lady. So if you've got any questions for her at the reception tonight, she'd be happy to tell you about the medallion, but she's the one that actually put it forth, and we're really proud of that. And I think people are really excited about the medallion. So thank you all very much.
Good job. Thank you. Okay.
Come on, everybody jump up at the same time.
Leo, the young lady.
We got Leo's in one end of the room over here and another one over here.
You know, I'm sort of amazed you folks sponsored this event. And although some of you may not have been here when the initial package was introduced, I find it rather
I'm proud of you. You're wearing your 50-year pin.
Thank you.
Who's wearing the 50-year pin?
I'm wearing it all over my body, Leo.
That's saying something.
But if you pass it along, make sure that somebody puts them on.
We also used the 50-year on the trail mail that was carried from Anchorage to Nome across the Iditarod this year. And I have a copy of that, which was canceled on the day after the race completed, for you to each have. It's symbolic of why the trail was originally created in the first place. And I also have a copy of the program that we had for our first day celebration, in part started on the evening of December 31st. Because we had something so unique in the process of attempting to create bonfires throughout Alaska, and the fire marshal from various places squashing most of those fires. I thought because we didn't have
so we can get it on the record, you should go back to the mic.
Well, I was trying to shout into this microphone.
Well,
I have one other thing I wanted to pass out. And
just don't you pass out.
In the process of trying to create something that might be the banner project, and you won't even see it on this slide presentation, we in Nome recreated the 8 stars of gold on the ice off of Nome by having bonfires for those particular... I'm just going to pass it around. Okay. We created bonfires off Nome, creating the Big Dipper. Over 2 miles long and a mile wide. In fact, I was star number 6 with my bonfire, and I was 100 feet from open water. So it just fit. And I think if you look at it, it's also on the back of the program that I handed to you, but the program doesn't print as well as the initial photograph that's on there. We are also creating 20 by 30 copies of this. If you and the legislature would honor Nome with the use of it somewhere that wouldn't be in direct sunlight and burn away all of the inks that are on it. We started our celebration, that's Nome over the top, and you can see two little things up in the north west corner. One is a development, and the third one is Nome Belts High School, and it's just faintly there.
Is that you there? Is that you?
That's star number 6.
Yeah.
Yes. You've done well. You get an A for the day. We put together quite something because we wanted to maybe supplement what else was taking place in the state. Originally, the concept was bonfires. We did the bonfires. I don't think there was a bonfire anywhere else of recognition of what happened on that January 3rd of 1959. If you look at the pictures in Anchorage, I think they tore half of the town down just to have a bonfire. We streamed that photo all over the place, and absolutely nobody picked it up. And that's why I'm bringing it to you today, because I think it speaks as much of what statehood is. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of Nome. It was the hotbed of a beginning of statehood. We provided the first U.S. representative to Congress through the elective process, and had been one way or another in the leading flames of trying to make it take place. We had a torchlight parade. A lot of this was experimental, and I can tell you, 25 or 50 years from now, you can do the same thing and really have fun. We ordered 1,000 glow sticks. It was 22 below in Nome when we had our celebration, and I just knew the glow sticks wouldn't work. They are beautiful at night. And we had about 150 people marching in the parade with 2 or 3 glow sticks, and it was just beautiful. And you could see them in some of the other photos that we had. In the process of trying to celebrate, we wanted to create something that would set a record. We made the largest baked Alaska ever. It weighed 1,100 pounds. and we flamed it with 6 quarts of Everclear. And Everclear is the most beautiful Alaska blue flame you have ever seen. And we have these pictures. They're streamable. If you ever want to use them one way or another, we have them. You can see the kids in the background holding the glow sticks, and they outshine the flaming of the baked Alaska. It took 3 days to get rid of the baked Alaska. We were giving it away in square foot to start out, if you can call foot, feet, or whatever. And in fact, we did get rid of it. We were carving it up. We can tell you how to do it. It was 80 square foot big. We had a 4950 sparkle. We had people designed in 49/50, 49th state 50th year, and got pictures of that. The only problem is at 20 below, sparklers give off sparkles that go down instead of out. And we had lots of synthetics that have holes in them today. Something you have to think of next time. We're going to redo the 4950 this coming fall because it is beautiful. It gives off the most beautiful green hue to snow that you can believe. We then had a birthday celebration inside Old St. Joe's, which the state legislature helped us fund over years ago. And we invited those who had their 3rd of January birthdays to come in, and we had 4 cakes and we had 4 people, including my granddaughter, who was 7 years old, thought it was wonderful. She had 2 birthday parties on the same day. And cut the cakes, had just a great celebration talking. Senator Olson was there and gave a presentation on statehood, and then had one of the 49 star flags, the little ones that he had framed, and I assume the state legislature had something to do with that as well, and was gifted to the city of Nome for permanent display.
That's John Coghill had a lot to do.
Yeah, I know a little of the history, but by any means, I am ever so proud of what we were able to do. We had a first day cancellation specifically made, and I wanted to present this to the legislature with our thanks with the first day cancellation down below. And if you're wondering who that is that's on there, that is Nomer and Norma. They had 2 kids, Sebastian and something else, but they graced our newspaper Nome for 10 years. And the artist was still in Nome to create that for us to use as a first day of cancellation. I want to thank you very much for your time today, Madam Co-Chair, Co-Chair, members of the committee, and especially you, Representative Harris, on the other end of one of the trails.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leo.
Excellent.
Good morning. Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Good morning. I'm Michelle Roberts. I'm the Executive Director of Festival Fairbanks in Fairbanks, Alaska. And before I start, everybody gets to wave a hi.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
There you go.
Wow.
Thank you.
Well, Fairbanks has been busy. As I stated to the Alaska Statehood Celebration Commission, I was born in 1959, so there was nobody more acutely aware of when the 50th anniversary of statehood was going to be than me. We started out with quite a few things. We were tasked by the Statehood Commission to do the May 28th event, which was actually where the U.S. House of Representatives passed the initial Alaska Statehood Bill. It wasn't the kind of thing that was lended itself to a reenactment. You know, it was,
you know,
sorry, you know, politics and everything. It was a wonderful event, but not something. So we decided to do a bonfire barbecue event that 50s style. We had the local theater people in poodle skirts handed out the flags and the pins, and we had Senator Stevens, Senator Murkowski, a lot of other dignitaries that were there. We served 2,000 people in 2 hours. And then we had a bonfire, and we also did birthday candles. They're actually stage pyrotechnics, basically, but we did 50 of those on the riverbank. We have been busy. We passed out to all of the schools a package that contained the 49th Star publication that was done through KUAC, and we got the teacher's edition of that, and then also gave them the history books and several other things. And what we were able to do is provide one of those for all the history teachers in grades 6 through 12, and then packets to all of the elementary schools, and that was a resource there for the school. That went over very well. We wanted more than just a parade, popcorn, and a picnic. So during the week of the 28th, we had a week-long series of events, which included Trace Adkins came up to Fairbanks and performed. Elton John performed in Fairbanks. We had a kite day, which we had wind all the way through May, until we opened the box of kites, and then the wind died. So the kite day is also going to be revived this year, because we consider 09 to be the year of celebration. We had businesses represented, past, present, and future, during that week as well. So it was a very busy week for us. We had 42 degrees below zero and zero visibility on January 3rd in Fairbanks. So our fireworks display, which you can see up there on the PowerPoint, was actually done on the 17th, because more than anything, we wanted people to be able to enjoy it, and especially to be safe, because we gridlocked the west end of Fairbanks. It took me 20 minutes to go less than a quarter of a mile when it was over. So I felt like that was a very good representation of the success that we had rounding up the people and getting them out for a nice display. We have 4 by 10 foot banners that will be gracing Airport Road through the through this year, and we're finishing our Chena River Walk, which on the south side of the river will be completed this year. We started it as a part of our recognition of the city centennial and the founding of Fairbanks, and we've continued on. We'll be down to Pegger Road by the end of the summer. Our capital project for our lasting legacy is to get the bike path on the north side of the Chena River. And we have all of the landholders except the railroad on board right now. So I may be calling on some of you for a little bit of help. I did explain to them I felt that it was we the people, since it's owned by the state of Alaska and this is what we want, that we should have some further discussion, because they're putting up a little resistance.
Representative Kawasaki will lead the way.
you could tell the railroad we have two bills in front of them today. They may not move.
That's why I mentioned it. You know, if they want the signatures, they need to pony up here. But the Chena River Walk at this point represents $250,000 worth of private investment in our community, and it's actually turned into one of the major entryways into downtown Fairbanks. It's beautiful if you haven't seen it. We brought the torch up to Fairbanks at the Ice Park, and Dorothy Hamill was interviewed in front of it, so that made I guess nationwide news. We have the Fairbanks Opera and a lot of our civic groups, like anybody who's got anything going on, Lathrop High School reunion, the Bonspiel, you know, everybody who's got an annual or semi-annual event is taking hold of this Alaska 50 celebration, and just everywhere you look, it's Alaska 50. So we also are working with a vineyard down in Napa Valley, and we're producing a 50th anniversary wine.
Oh, good.
One of the ladies who was on our original board of directors in 1982, when we were formed to do the 25th anniversary of statehood, brought me 3 bottles of 25th anniversary champagne, which I'm told, if it were open, would be great on salad. and then one of the other things that we're doing is our city and borough beautification efforts this year are themed in the Alaska State colors of blue and gold. So there are many other events to come. We are just gearing up at this point. So we are very excited about what is yet to come, what we've already done, and what is yet to be.
What is the grape?
I'm sorry?
What is the grape in the wine?
It is a Cabernet, and it's out of Napa Valley, and it's
glacial water.
It's not one. We can't really afford to go for one that'll sit on the shelf for 100 years. I mean, they want to sell us a pallet, and I talked them down to a half a pallet, which is only 600 bottles. But still, they said that shelf life on is probably going to be about 4 years, and that'll be about it. So, but we're not doing a Chardonnay at least. So
600 bottles only last Bob about 3 parties.
All right. Well, let me get your card, sir, and I'll.
Only when I'm in Valdez.
Hey, fishing. I got
they
it.
You drink
fish
a lot,
meat, right? So I very much appreciate your time this morning, allowing Fairbanks to say hello and let you know what we're doing, and invite any of you to come and celebrate with us this year.
All right. Thank you. Very good job for Fairbanks.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Please state your name and affiliation for the record, sir.
My name is Darrell Shaw. Along with Denise Owens, I was the planner and coordinator for the Anchorage Statehood Celebrations. Our mission in Anchorage, we were tasked with January 3rd, and we were told very specifically that we were to host the state of Alaska on the big anniversary party. We took that task very seriously, and we organized our year accordingly so that we would not completely end, but basically end our presentations at January 3rd, which would be the kickoff then, the 2009 year, and encourage everyone to around the state to continue on, and as obviously they have. We did about 18 events over the course of 6 months. I will tell you a little bit about a couple of them because I think they show a really wonderful way that the state was specifically involved. The state of Alaska funded some of the projects that we were working with. There was $1 million that came from the state of Alaska to underwrite some of these statewide projects that we did. I'm happy to report to you that we took our economic responsibility very seriously. We raised a matching $1.2 million ourselves, and out of that we earned almost $1 million of that, and the rest was contributed, but we actually earned most of that money. The projects, twice during the course of the year, the six-month period, we brought all of the living governors of Alaska back together. We brought them together originally to create a fundraising opportunity. 25 years ago I worked on this project, and we did it again. We received the donation of a Sidney Lawrence print to use. We had all 8 governors sign it. We raised approximately $400,000 from the sale of those prints. Wow. That went every penny of it to underwrite specific programs that we did. We began in June. On June 28th, we recreated what we called We're in Weekend. We took the idea of the banner that came out in the Anchorage Times in 1958 that said We're in, and it was the headline that's so famous. We recreated it in many, many, many ways. We created a festival. We worked with Elmendorf Air Force Base on their air show, and we created an entire weekend of activities. We recreated the famous pinning of the star on the flag that was done by Rita Gravel in 1959. And we had Katie Hurley and Vic Fisher, and we brought them in, and they actually did the pinning. We turned Fourth Avenue, the historic Fourth Avenue in Anchorage, back into a replica of what it looked like in the 1950s. And this is an example of the 4th Avenue Theater, and you can see by the banners, we've covered the city in banners, and we've created these enormous banners. We actually created one banner that is a replica of the headline that was 40 feet wide and 40 feet high. So we actually were able to have that sort of thing. So tourists and all that thought it was quite amazing.
Just, excuse me, just for the record, Representative Mark Newman has joined us in the audience, and Mark, you're welcome to sit with us here, but Mark, of course, is a commission member.
Yes. So the anniversary show at Elmendorf, one of the things that we were tasked with was trying to get the word out around the world that we were doing a 50th anniversary of statehood. We worked very closely with the United States Air Force to bring in a concert. We brought in Winona Judd. The concert became so large that she brought her mother, and they did a getting back together kind of concert. The concert, I'm happy to report, was an enormous success. We carried it live. We televised it live over the entire state of Alaska, tied into the rural network. 230,000 homes had access to that concert live that evening. We also tied in with AT&T on the Blue Room, and the concert was carried live worldwide. And we also worked directly with the military, and we created a special that was shown on July 4th of this concert live from Anchorage, from Alaska, that was on the Armed Forces Network. So it was taken to every deployed military person and their families anywhere in the world, was carried as a special event. So we tried very hard to constantly keep that, let's bring as many people to Alaska, to Anchorage, and also let's send out the message. I want to put a plug in right now. ATIA was fabulously helpful in getting the word out about the 50th anniversary, and I know they're down here this week doing some things. Very quickly, we decided on a legacy project. We created a bronze plaque walk, a history walk of Alaskan history. We selected 16 moments in history. This book is available to you. We have 15,000 of these printed. They are downtown in Anchorage. We put it on the new Lenny Priscillo parking garage, which is a state building for the state parking. So this is a permanent installation that's down there now, and it's great. It works really, really well. We're very proud of this. The school districts have all gotten this book, and they're working very closely with us on that. We did a statewide quilt. This was my favorite project that I did all year long. This was, we asked for people around the state to send us a single panel that represented somehow either their relationship with the state history or the place where they lived or whatever. We received an amazing number of panels. They're all, absolutely every one is a piece of art. We created this book. We created 9 large quilts out of it, and we had the initial showing was in Anchorage, but this show is currently touring all over the state of Alaska, and it's completely booked for the entire year of 2009 already in communities, and it represents the every region you can possibly imagine in Alaska donated to this cause. So that was pretty amazing.
I have a question.
The Governor's Legacy Dinner.
Excuse me, Representative Gardner.
I'm sorry.
Is it possible, where could we get copies of that book?
This is the only copy I have. You're welcome.
Does the museum have them? Or
What we're doing is we sent the copies out with the quilt project, and we provide them free to the communities, and then the communities can sell it to underwrite costs they might have. We pay for all the costs of the transportation, everything for the quilt, but then that's a way for communities to also have a little fundraiser for their own 50th. We wanted to give that back. I can make these available to you if you'd like. Actually, you will get one in a packet because I'll show you 3 books that you'll be getting. You'll be getting one of these, one of those, and when this book is completed, this is a prototype that I'll show you quickly, you'll get one of those also, which demonstrates what happened. Governor's Legacy Dinner.
Hang around long enough, you'll get the 100-year one too.
Well, we're working on that. The Governor's Legacy Dinner, we brought together the 8 living governors of Alaska and representatives of the 2 families of the deceased governors. We did an amazing, amazing evening with, all I can tell you, it was an amazing evening. There were corporate sponsors, there were, everyone you could possibly imagine came from all over the state. We flew governors in who don't live here any longer. We didn't allow any of them to speak. So it was... It was quite a remarkable feat, I can tell you. When I first announced that no one would speak, there was an awkward silence in the room, to say the least. But because no one spoke, we had a great MC, we had great entertainment, and everyone had these 20-minute breaks to go and talk with them. The documentation of that particular event in this book is really brilliant. You'll like it very much. City of Lights, the Chamber of Commerce does City of Lights, and so we... gave them some initial money that we had raised separately to underwrite the purchase of energy-efficient LED lights so that the city can continue to do that project into the future. We also helped fund the ACVB parade float that was in the January 1st parade, the Rose Bowl parade. We did 3 projects at the end, and I'll stop talking about this. Did 3 projects between January... actually New Year's Eve and January 3rd. We worked with Alaska Airlines, and they came up with a special deal for people in Alaska for 50% off their price to fly to Anchorage during those days. I can say that the economic impact of those days was quite remarkable. There were, just during those 4 days, 5 days, over 1,000 Alaskans working, being paid to be involved in this project. I can tell you that we booked over 500, that we know of, room nights during those 4 days in Anchorage hotels from people who came there. There were 47 representatives from foreign countries who came specifically to be in Anchorage for that. So that's, those are pretty amazing things. We really took very seriously that whole economic deal. The gala we produced was remarkable. There were 1,500 people there. There's a lot of pictures of this. We had great representation by, only 4 people spoke, which was nice all evening. But we had Native representation, ethnic representation. We brought in entertainers from all over the state. And during the evening, at any one time, there were 300 people on stage. And when you see the photographs of this, it was a remarkable piece done at the new Denina Center. What I'm particularly proud of, though, is a piece that we did called The Light of the North. And this is a replica of The Light of the North. This piece is actually 9 feet tall and was built up onto a platform. Each of these panels is cut out, has plexi behind it, they light up. This was designed so that each of these 4 panels can be removed and they can be permanently installed in Fairbanks, Juneau, Anchorage, and we're hoping that the 4th one, we're working now to try to get it in the Smithsonian Alaska exhibit. So that we have these, and they're stainless steel, they're really quite remarkable. Michelle just had this up, we actually had it taken up to Fairbanks and they used it for one of their festivals. It's a remarkable piece, it will be taken apart. There's a whole other story I'm not going to tell you about that goes along with that with Kenai, but part of that, we invited delegates from around the state. Well, we took that, let's bring people from the state to Anchorage thing, I keep saying that, but it was a big mandate for us. We did 2 things with them. We asked them to represent their communities. We had representatives from 27 communities that took our offer up. We brought them down, we put them in a hotel. And this is a copy of the Pledge of Unity. This was something that we came up with and said, this is a historic document that you also will have copies of if you like. This is in the schools now, going out all over the state. We created this so that it's a pledge of unity for the next 50 years from people all over the state of Alaska, from every walk of life you can imagine, who came together and said, we believe this is an important thing to pledge our unity for the future of Anchorage. The next day, Katie Hurley was the host, and I'm sure most of you know Katie. We did a march down through the middle of town with lights. It was first described as torches, but they were not torches because, of course, you can't have torches that look like a Frankenstein movie. But they did have lights. We came to a single spot. Katie was there with a young Native girl, darling little girl, and everyone symbolically walked up and touched the end of her torch, and at the end she took that lit torch and lit this torch and created the beginning of the Day of Statehood. So it was really a remarkable thing. That day went on to involve 7 venues. We had probably 500 artists from all over the state that we had brought in that were performing. Everything was free. That day ended with probably the largest fireworks show I'm sure that's ever happened in Alaska. I did the Millennium, and that was a pretty big show. This one was bigger. It was really quite remarkable. What we're particularly proud of is that we had employed 1,000 people, 27 communities. We did 2 statewide telecasts. The gala was also completely telecast free to 230,000 households around the state. So that people had access to it. If you didn't have money to come to it, if you didn't have a ticket to get to it, you could at least be part of it. We thought that was important. The Conference on Young Alaskans was happening at the same time, and they worked with the delegates from the 27 cities to make this torch thing happen. Quite remarkable. For 2009, we have a couple things still going. The quilt tour will finish in 2009. Placement of the 4 panels will be a priority for ours. We're going to reenact the We're In weekend. I can tell you that we have also endowed the Anchorage Museum with a fund to digitize 140,000 historic photographs that had been taken and presented to them. So that will be a permanent part of a collection. We just won the Heart of the City Award in Anchorage for our work, and we have taken all of the money that we make for the rest of this year, all the money we raise, all the money we make, and we have set up a fund at the Alaska Community Foundation for the 75th anniversary of statehood. So, in a nutshell, we were busy. You will all get a copy of this book. This has examples of from the governor's dinner and from the Legacy March and the gala and all that sort of thing. So this is the prototype. It's the first one out, so I don't have enough. But there are 60 copies coming so that everybody here will make sure that they have some. So all of this stuff will be at the reception this afternoon, so you can take a closer look at it. Very exciting year. And thank you so much. And a particular thanks to Colleen. Colleen Sullivan-Leonard absolutely was the best. So we want to put that on the record. She was remarkable to work with. She was supportive. She just got it, and she was the sort of blood that kept everyone working. She was the liaison between us and the State Commission. State Commission has been there as a partner with us absolutely from day one. So we thank you so much. Your contribution allowed us to be able to do all of this. Our contribution back to meet it really enhanced the entire program, and I think it was wildly successful. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and a very good job. And before Chris does his final summary, Kate, did you want to comment?
I'm fine.
Okay.
We have other members.
I'm sorry, we kept it.
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead, Representative Gardner.
They have a little sidebar over there.
Representative Gardner, you have a question for this group?
Okay.
Hang on a minute, Chris.
Hold on. Slow down. Representative Gardner, you have a question.
Yes. I just want to know where the quilt will end up.
Very good question. That's being debated right now. Our board has suggested the first option. We went back to the Anchorage Museum and said, because they're putting that big expansion on now, opening up in a few weeks. And part of our plan is to possibly distribute it around. You know, every community that has a piece in any one of the quilts wants it in their community. So I'm not quite sure how that decision will be made yet, but it will be made by a group of people, and there'll be museums and libraries and that kind of thing. That's our first choice. We're not going to sell it. We'll place it and maintain it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Representative Munoz.
I just want to say that, Daryl, I was able to attend the event in Anchorage, the governor's event, at the invitation of our local Capital City Celebrations group, and it was an amazing event and very exciting to be able to participate. The entertainment was world class, and the decorations were beautiful, and very exciting to see the present governor come into the room flanked by all of the previous governors living.
It was
powerful, and it was very well done.
Thanks.
So thank you. And I have to leave. I have a bill up in another committee, but thank you all so much for your presentation.
Thank you.
And I'll be back.
Hey, Chris, could you?
Very brief summary. I get goosebumps when I think of this event that happened, this pledge, these young people from all over the state. It was Arla Sturgeluski, in fact, who led the parade. And I wanted to add that I did figure out who the remaining constitutional delegates are. For the record, it is Vic Fisher, Jack Coghill, Seaborn Buckaloo Jr., whom we left off before, and then Katie Hurley, the chief clerk. And in summary, we had many partners, the railroad, the travel industry, all over the state. People have really stepped up, local individuals who've organized in their communities. And so that is the conclusion of our presentation. I get goosebumps again when I think about everything we've achieved. And so thank you.
Well, we look forward to going to the reception this afternoon, and congratulations everyone to a job well done. Thank you very much. Okay. At this time,
that might be a fake one.
Once we
figured it out.
Okay. At this time, we will go to House Bill 173. Representative Kawasaki and Mercedes Toya, could you please come to the table, please?
You want this?
Good morning, sir. Please state your name and your staff for the record, and then please with your opening sponsor statement would be appropriate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Community and Regional Affairs, for the record. My name is Scott Kawasaki. I'm a member of the House representing the 9th District in Fairbanks. The story of this bill starts over 100 years ago. In 1900, E.T. Barnett, Captain E.T. Barnett, was trying to head up a trading post in Tanacross at the junction of the Tanana River and the Valdez Eagle Trail. Along the way, he beached his boat, and had to find other passage on the Lavelle Young, which was headed up the Tanana River. Shallow waters led them up the Chena. They were heading, trying to head out quickly before wintertime hit, and they beached on a narrow bank in a high spot of the riverbank of the Chena River. Barnett set up canvas tents, offloaded his supplies, and began to build before winter, and the trading post became known as Fairbanks. The first road was probably near, somewhere around Cushman Street, probably connected Barnett and his men on the riverbank to the outhouse. But the second road, Mr. Chairman, connected one side of the river with the other side of the river. First, it was an ice bridge. Later on, it became a wooden bridge, now a steel bridge. Every winter, that wooden bridge would get knocked out by ice flows. The other side of the river was an important area for commerce, new and a new direction for the city. This is the only north-south. This was the only north-south passageway for decades until the Steese Bridge was built to accommodate military, the University Avenue Bridge, and Wendell Street Bridge. And now we even have a footbridge across the Chena River. Yet the Cushman Street Bridge still remains an important part to commerce and an arterial passageway for Fairbanks. In downtown. Traffic jams are very common currently. All the city traffic that needs to go either work or play or live in downtown gets pinched off from the northern segment, and that's the Illinois Street area, which you have a map of in the bill packet. Sometimes these traffic jams can last for several hours. There's blind corners along the way. There's two lanes of traffic and a very narrow turn lane that meets both east and west traffic. The Department of Transportation and the city have been working on the plan to expand and open the city to commerce for decades. We're finally to a point where we can proceed on a project to create a new Barnett Street Bridge. Funds have been appropriated, and the Railroad Act, the Alaska Railroad Act, requires approval for all of these land transfers, and that's why we're before you today. This bill is supported by the Alaska Railroad, Department of Transportation, the City of Fairbanks, the Borough, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and the Downtown Association, the Chamber of Commerce, and really, when did I ever get support of the Chamber of Commerce, right? This has got to be a good bill. Thousands of residents, finally, on both sides of the river, approve of this plan for safety, for beautification, and for commerce. And with that, I'll...
Any questions for the sponsor?
Mr. Chairman, why don't you get support from the Chamber of Commerce?
What? I'm sorry? Sure.
Representative Kawasaki, why don't you get support from the Chamber of Commerce?
I've got support right here for this proposal through the chair.
Okay.
Any questions for Representative Kawasaki? Okay, Representative Gardner, before we go to... people wish to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Any element whatsoever that opposes this?
Through the chair, Representative Gardner, originally when the plan scoping required a bridge across, or is discussing the bridge across Barnett Street, there have been concerns by residents about opening up the interior to flows of traffic. Currently, though, the Illinois Street project, which is on the north side of the bridge, contains no sidewalks. No pedestrian travel lanes. I've walked there from time to time. It's adjacent to a school, Immaculate Conception School, and I don't think that that's the point of contention. I think the point is that the downtown traffic flow would cause problems, but no organized group is opposed to the proposition.
Chairman?
Yes.
Jim Kawasaki, why do we need this bill?
Through the chair, Representative Harris, the Alaska Railroad Act requires that any land transfers between the state and the railroad be approved by the legislature. This is just more than anything a cleanup bill for those two, DOT and the Alaska Railroad, to swap land.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
The law that we passed, legislature passed a number of years ago, creating the Alaska Railroad Corporation, says they cannot dispose of any property that they were given under the Railroad Act without permission of the legislature. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Harris, I believe that's correct.
Okay. We do have several people online. Four of them are available for questions. Those people are John Bennett, Jeff Wildridge, Phyllis Johnson, and John Kibitz. We do have two people that wish to testify, both from Fairbanks. So at this time, we would go to David Vandenberg. Please state your name and affiliation for the record, sir.
Yes, hello, good morning. My name is David Vandenberg. I'm the executive director at the Downtown Association of Fairbanks. And just call in this morning to support HB 173, the Illinois Street Project, which this bill would help to facilitate. Is a really important transportation project for the Fairbanks. And you have a willing party, which is Department of Transportation, and a willing party, the Alaska Railroad. And in the right-of-way process for the Illinois Street project, that's really the only bit that could cause a delay to the project is any type of hitch in the transfer of the state. So we support this bill to see the Illinois Street project go, I suppose, on its revised schedule. Of course, it's been on the books for years, but to go ahead and see this go to construction. And with the Downtown Association, our interest in the Illinois Street project is that we are in turn reliant upon that project going forward so that we can begin to implement some changes to circulation patterns in the downtown Fairbanks area that will revitalize the downtown and bring in more retail and more commerce and economic development to the downtown. So for those reasons, both to get the Illinois Street project going, and that then will clear the way for the revitalization project to move ahead, we support this bill, and we thank the sponsor.
Thank you, Mr. Vandenberg. Is there questions for this person? Seeing none, thank you, sir. Please now go to Donna Gardino in Fairbanks. Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Yes, thank you. My name is Donna Gardino, and I am the Metropolitan Planning Organization Coordinator for the Fairbanks Metropolitan Area Transportation System, also known as FMATS. And FMATS is funding the Illinois Street Reconstruction Project out of our Transportation Improvement Program. And it has been in our program since 1985 and is in the right-of-way acquisition phase. This bill will enable the DOT to acquire land from the Alaska Railroad that is necessary to reconstruct Illinois Street. This project is a top priority of our policy committee, and the initial stage of this project, the Barnett Street Bridge, is planned to be built this winter, and we are hopeful that the remainder of the project will begin construction in late 2010 or 2011. The critical path in the schedule is the successful acquisition of right-of-way to construct the project as planned. Given that it is necessary for the Alaska State Legislature to approve the conveyance of the Alaska Railroad's land interest, and the Alaska Railroad has approved of this land transfer, FMATS encourages the legislature to support this legislation to allow construction of this very important Fairbanks area project. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you, Donna.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Harris.
Donna, did we not put money in the bond issue that passed last year for the Illinois Street project?
Through the chair, the bond issue was for University Avenue.
Oh, it was for University Avenue. Okay, not Illinois Street. Seems like we put money in there not too many years ago for that project as well. Okay, thank you.
Okay, is there anyone in the audience here in Juneau that wishes to testify on House Bill 173? Yes. Good morning. Please state your name and affiliation with the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Deb Hickok, and I'm President and CEO of the Fairbanks Convention and Visitors Bureau, and my purpose is to lend another voice of community support to the transfer of land as noted in HB 173. If you're unfamiliar with the corridor, Illinois Street is a major used thoroughfare in Fairbanks, but it looks and acts like a tertiary road with a severe personality disorder. It's dangerous for people who walk, and for people who try to bicycle, it's almost impossible to do that. And of course, it's a traffic hazard. So I think the only bone of contention from the community is that this project isn't done. It's been talked about for decades in Fairbanks, and I think all the major players want to have this important piece of the puzzle approved, and then we can go forward with it and make us safer and open up to the Chena River enhancements that Michelle had talked about that she's worked on, and also our downtown association with Vision Fairbanks. So we wanted to lend our support and thank you for what we consider as a housekeeping detail, and we appreciate that these processes need to happen, and we appreciate your support.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead, sir.
If the cruise ship industry has difficulties in Southeast Alaska, how much effect is that going to have on the use of your roads in Fairbanks?
Well, you mean in terms of numbers, or?
Yeah, in terms of if they don't ship more people up to Fairbanks.
Oh, well, 50% of our summer business roughly is cruise ship passengers that are on land tours. So
pretty significant then, eh?
Yes, very significant. And the other deceptive part of that is a lot of the cruise tour, land tour people actually come before and after their cruise, so they act like independents while they're in our community. Some of them rent cars and travel around on their own before and after their land tour. So that's another little piece of the puzzle. But their coaches will be mobilized this summer. I mean, it's quite interesting when we get 15 coaches downtown, because that's where they stop for lunch. A number of the tour patterns stop for lunch, and they actually use this Illinois Street corridor, and it's not a good situation right now. And as we poise for the future, I think downtown's going to be used more and more by the cruise companies when we go past the cycle and into the next phase of a healthy economy. Someday we'll see more and more of them using downtown.
So that all kind of works together.
It does.
Yeah, that's kind of what
it's
I
real
thank
important.
You very much.
It's real important. It's kind of we have our little log cabin information center that now we've turned over to the Yukon Quest, and that's where a lot of them stop, and they hook into this through the bridge, the Cushman Street Bridge, and into Illinois Street, and it's quite dangerous and complicated and unnecessary. Look forward to getting it all solved.
Thank you, Deb.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your patience.
Anyone else? If not, before we take committee takes action on this legislation, a final comment there, Representative Kawasaki.
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think you've heard from most of the folks in favor of the bill. Like I said, it's been wildly supported by each of the big stakeholders in the area. The residents on both sides of the river can appreciate having a safer area to drive, less traffic. And this bill at least gets us to that point. Thanks.
Thank you. What is the wishes of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, does this bill have a where does it go from here?
Through the chair, Representative Harris, it goes to the Transportation Committee.
And I sit on that. Okay, very good. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move House Bill 173 from committee with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal notes if there are any.
Any objection to moving this from committee? Okay. We'll take a brief at ease, sign the document, then we'll move on. House Bill 171, Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Co-Chair Heron. It's a pleasure. This is the first time we've been in front of this committee this year, and thank you so much for having us. We truly do have what is called a simple bill. There's an agreement on both sides to do a small land swap between the railroad and the municipality of Anchorage. This is something that would benefit quality of life for residents of the Government Hill neighborhood that I represent, would also benefit the railroad. And they are here to speak to specifics on the benefits. And if you have questions for them, and also Laura, my staffer, is prepared to answer any questions also.
Okay. Yes, go ahead, Laura.
Good morning, members of the committee. My name is Laura Pierre, staff to Representative Dahlstrom. In Alaska Statute 4240-285, it sets out the guidelines to the railroad swapping any land. The legislature must approve land swap by the railroad, and this land swap is, like Representative Dahlstrom said, between the municipality of Anchorage and the railroad. You should have a full color map in front of you, and the two blue parcels, upper right-hand side of the map, are the current property owned by the railroad. that will be transferred to the municipality. The larger portion over on the right-hand side, that is going to be developed into a subdivision, subdivided, and sold off for, personal residence. The smaller one looks kind of like a triangle at the top part of the map. That is the entrance into Government Hill Elementary School. Currently, the entrance is kind of curvy, unsafe for children and crossing there and getting in and out of the school. That would be redeveloped, redesigned to make a safer entrance into the school. The parcel of land that the railroad will be getting in exchange from the municipality is the red square down at the bottom of the map. They currently own both plots of land on either side of that, so it makes complete sense for the railroad to have this piece of property. Section 1 of the bill sets out the two parcels of land that the railroad will be swapping to the municipality. And the municipality is in complete support, as is Government Hill Community Council and members of the committee, or community. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. And I know there's folks online that are there for questions as well.
Is there any questions? Representative Gardner.
Thank you. This is really just out of curiosity, but what are the orange lines all over this map?
Morning.
Good morning. My name is Wendy Linskoog, and I'm the Assistant Vice President for Corporate Affairs at the Alaska Railroad. And through the chair, the orange lines delineate the Alaska Railroad property there in Ship Creek. So within the orange lines there is what we call our Anchorage Reserve rail land. And so this map was generated from our real estate department, so that's why we've got the orange lines on there.
Thank you. So specifically, exactly where is the school in relation to the blue, or is that railroad property right behind the school?
Through the chair, and I apologize for not having a map that shows the school. The school is actually, if you kind of just go up and to the right a little bit, it's right up above where the map
okay.
Show. And right there at the school, I think you've got several little roads coming into it. You've got the entrance to Elmendorf. It's just this kind of a mess in there in terms of the access. So this is definitely something that the school district and Anchorage supports in terms of cleaning up that access, making it more safe.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I'm aware of the challenges with the school and that little piece of land there, and I was just trying to kind of see it on the map and was confused, and now I know why. Thank you. Okay.
I'll try to fix that for the next committee.
Yes, Representative Harris.
Wendy, thanks for coming up here. So the little red piece of parcel down here is the piece you would acquire from the city or from the municipality.
At the very bottom.
Can you tell me what the railroad uses that property for down there?
Yes, through the chair. Currently, the property is being used for parking. And in the near future, I would foresee the railroad continuing to use that for parking purposes. Now, in the future, by us owning that entire parcel, it would certainly make it easier for somebody, if they had interest in leasing that land from us, to go ahead and lease it, maybe build a building or do something in the future that would change it from a parking use. And I would just add for the committee, once these properties do get into a third party's hand, they do go on the tax rolls for the municipality. So that's a good thing.
So this is income property for the railroad?
Yeah, with the parking, I'm sure we would have lease income from that.
And if I can follow up on what Representative Gardner was saying, these orange lines on here are kind of confusing to me, too. These orange lines all around this residential area up here, and I guess that's Government Hill maybe up there. Is that all railroad property, all that residential area?
Through the chair, if you can see where that larger blue block is, within that orange line, that is the residential development. Okay, so the city owns within that orange, I don't know what kind of shape you would call that, but...
So it's outside of the orange line, is what you're saying?
Outside of the orange line, yeah.
So the railroad owns this entire area going down through Ship Creek here and whatever?
Yes.
That area.
Most of that's our Anchorage yard, but there's quite a few industrial properties that are under lease to a lot of different.
Okay, that's all railroad. How about the area over here on the port where the tanks and stuff are? Is that railroad property as well? So is the port railroad property?
If I can, through the chair, Jim Kubitz is online. He's our vice president of real estate, and I would feel more comfortable if he answered that, because there is a certain area where the line is drawn, where the port owns some of it, and
okay.
we own some, so
okay.
I would.
It's not that important. I'm just trying to figure out what the railroad leases and what they use for themselves.
Well, the railroad has been put on notice by Ms. Representative Harris for the Transportation Committee hearing.
Yes.
Yeah. Be dealt with there. Maybe further committees, who knows. But okay, so that blue area right there is the area in question. What about this little blue area at the top up here? Is that also in question?
Little triangle, yeah, that's the detail shop. That's part of the parcels, yes.
That's being traded?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, let's go to the teleconference. We do have four people that are available for questions. Ron Pollock, Sue Lukens, Phyllis Johnson, John Kubitz. But we do have one person that wishes to testify, and that is Bob French. Please state your name and affiliation for the record, sir, and go ahead with your testimony.
Thanks to the co-chairs and other members. My name is Bob French, and I am a co-vice president of the Government Hill Community Council. Some of you may not be familiar with community councils, but for the municipality of Anchorage, they serve as the most basic form of local government. We have 39 community councils in Anchorage, ranging from Eklutna to Girdwood. And while the community councils have few actual powers, the municipality does look to the community councils for advice and guidance on many local issues. Government Hill is proud to be Anchorage's first and oldest neighborhood, and sometimes if you look at the map, you could see that we are hemmed in on all sides. We have railroad land to the south, we have Elmendorf Air Force Base on the north and the east, and the Port of Anchorage with their tank farms out on the west. But in this case, we are glad to be able to testify in favor of a project that we feel will have a very positive effect on our neighborhood. As you noted earlier, the number of different railroad inholdings within the residential neighborhood of Government Hill, it's actually fairly remarkable and probably one of the only places in the state where there is that much railroad land that is mixed in with private and municipal ownership. And we see this action as really trying to simplify the convoluted property ownership issues that are both here and then also in downtown. The railroad, as was described here, they own the land which is right at the entrance to the Government Hill Elementary School. And Government Hill Elementary School hosts a very popular Spanish immersion program, and it actually attracts students from all over the Anchorage Bowl. And as a magnet school, it brings in lots of traffic every morning and afternoon. It's a little hard to see from those maps that some of the streets there are actually more like a parking lot with curb cuts and everything else. There's also a fairly unsafe metal school crossing bridge going over Loop Road right in the middle. And then we also have basically five roads that are all connecting all at one place. We've got Bilbo Road, Loop Road, which is the main road going up through the entrance to Elmendorf Air Force Base, and then we have two disconnected halves of Bluff Road. And the presence of the railroad property right in that small little blue section there is it's been a blocking element in being able to figure out a safe and accessible entrance into Government Hill Elementary School. I'm not saying that it'll be easy, but if the land swap is approved, there will finally be a hope of getting a solution to the problem here. So I urge you to support House Bill 171 and to help simplify these property ownerships. Thanks for your attention, and I can have any questions that you might want to answer. If I could answer the questions, thanks.
Any questions from committee members? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. French. Okay, before we take action on this legislation, Representative Dahlstrom or Laura, is there any final comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just state that this actually is an issue that affects many, many people, not just those that live in the area. As Mr. French just stated, because of the Spanish immersion program at the school, there are folks from all over Anchorage, and I even believe the valley that commute to that school. Having driven that road many, many times, it is, even when you know where you're going, it's very confusing because there's just, you know, little side roads and cars parked all over the place. It is definitely a safety issue, and I think this is one of those rare times when there's 100% agreement on both sides. Everyone's happy, the community's happy about it, and so I would ask for your positive support on the bill.
Okay. What is the wishes of the committee?
Chairman, I move that we move House Bill 171/R version out of committee with individual recommendations and any fiscal notes that may be around.
Is there objection to moving this from committee? Seeing none, so ordered, and we are done at 9:25 this morning. Thank you very much.